Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is your Tuesday teaching tip for Tuesday, the 4th of July, 2017. And happy 4th of July to all my American friends. And today we're talking about how to conclude a lesson. How to finish off. You've done a good presentation, a good talk, a good sermon, but how do you end? Very important, isn't it? Because I've done this myself, perhaps you have, and you've heard people who just sort of peter out at the end. It just fades away. And there's an opportunity lost there of helping people to really think about something concrete at the end. Now, Jesus was a master at this, and so we're going to look at some examples from him. Seven, in fact, examples of how he concluded talks or lessons or points he was making. And perhaps we can all learn from those how to do a better job concluding our lessons. So, number one, finish with a question. Finish with a question. Jesus does this in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to be flicking around a little bit here to get to the right passages. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus teaches the parable of the persistent widow. And he concludes with a question. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? I imagine his listeners are wondering, what did he mean by that? What an interesting question. Perhaps it provoked further discussion between the listeners and the disciples, or between Jesus and his disciples and others. A question is a great way to end a lesson. Secondly, something else Jesus did is he did what comedians call a callback in Luke chapter 12. Let's go back there. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaches what is commonly called the parable of the rich fool. And he does a classic callback. At the beginning, he says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Rich man, the word rich right there. That's in verse 16. And then in verse 21, he concludes with, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. That word rich at the beginning and rich at the end. It can be useful sometimes to repeat a word or a phrase that you're using in your title or your introduction or as a thread through the whole lesson, and then at the end to use that same phrase, perhaps in a new way like he does there. He talks about the rich man, and then he talks about being rich toward God at the end. So that's called a callback, using a word or phrase again at the end. That's a second way to conclude a lesson. Third way is to issue an action challenge. An action challenge. We see this in Luke chapter 10. Back a page or two here. In Luke chapter 10, we find the parable of what's called the Good Samaritan. And after telling the parable, what does Jesus do? The expert in the law gives the right answers. The one who was a neighbor had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. It's a simple action challenge. And sometimes that's a great way to end a lesson, just issuing it to the congregation, to the listeners that are with you that day, go and do whatever it is you've been talking about. That's our third way to conclude. Fourthly, use an illustration, an example, that kind of thing. Finish off with some kind of illustration. Jesus does this. We're spending most of our time in Luke today, but we're going to pop over here to Matthew chapter 19. Jesus uses a physical example, a prop in a way, although I wouldn't like to call children props. But nonetheless, that's kind of what they are here. They are an illustration. In Luke chapter 19, the little children want to be with Jesus. The disciples rebuke them. And then Jesus said, let the little children come to me, in verse 14. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So that's a teaching point. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And so the disciples and whoever else is there are watching and hearing him teach, but also watching and hearing him physically do what he's doing. They're not only hearing, they are seeing. And he gathers the children after he said what he needs to say and places his hands on them, in some way blesses them, and then sends them on where he goes on from there himself. So he finishes with an illustration. Perhaps you could do that next time. Tell a little story, an anecdote, or something that illustrates your point. That's our fourth way to conclude a lesson. Now, number five. The fifth way that Jesus finished his teaching at times was to use scripture. Now that may seem rather obvious, you're already preaching from scripture, but actually reading another scripture, perhaps a summary scripture which summarizes all of the rest of the lesson. That might be a way to do it. You could reread the scripture you've used for your lesson, or you may wish to use a different one. Jesus does this in Luke chapter 20. So let's go back to the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke 20, in verses 17 and 18, Jesus has been teaching a parable. But after teaching the parable, he looks at the people listening to him and says, "What is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," quoting from Psalm 118. "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." So he uses a scripture to illustrate his parable, his teaching point. Again, that could be a great way to end a lesson. You've preached and taught on a passage, but now another verse, not usually a long passage, but as Jesus does here, quoting just a couple of lines from a psalm, really summarize the point and bring it home. So that's our fifth way to conclude a lesson. Now, number six. The sixth way that Jesus concludes his lessons is to use a provocative statement. Now, you've got to be courageous and bold to do this, but this can be useful. A provocative statement. We'll go back to Luke chapter 4 for this one, near the beginning of his ministry. And in Luke chapter 4, we find this. He is teaching in the synagogue there, and he concludes by talking about Elijah, about the widow of Zarephath, and about Naaman the Syrian. And he's making a point about the access of the Gentiles to the kingdom. "There were many in Israel," verse 27, "with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." And that's the end of his lesson, a provocative statement to an Israelite audience right here. Only Naaman the Syrian. He talks about all these Gentiles here being blessed by God. And what's the reaction? Verse 28, "All the people in the synagogue were furious and they drove him out of town and tried to throw him off a cliff." Now, I hope that doesn't happen to you in any of your lessons, but there are times to issue a provocative statement that really might get people a bit riled. And that needs to be used very carefully. And of course, Jesus was the Son of God and knew exactly the right time to do that. But it doesn't mean there aren't times to say something provocative. So that's the sixth way to conclude a lesson. Our final and seventh way to conclude a lesson is to remind people that what you've been talking about comes with a promise. A promise. There are several examples of this in the teaching of Jesus, but I'll pick out just one from Luke chapter 11. After teaching on what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, he also gives a couple of parables to go with that to illustrate his teaching. And then in verse 13, he finishes this section by saying, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" What a wonderful promise. And what a wonderful way for Jesus to teach, to end that teaching on prayer, which was revolutionary in its time, the idea of addressing God as Father and expressing the different things that he talks about in the psalm, in the prayer. He had to teach on it and give illustrations and parable ideas here, but then he finishes with this promise. He will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. What a wonderful promise. And again, perhaps you can end your lesson with a promise. If this, then that. If you obey this, then this. If you put this into practice, then this. If you try this in faith, then this. This is how God will work or can work and hold on to God's promises. So seven ways we've looked at that we can use to conclude our lessons. Number one, with a question. People think. Number two, a callback, using a word at the beginning and again at the end. Thirdly, an action challenge. Now go and do likewise. Fourthly, an illustration, a story, an anecdote, or something like that. Fifthly, a scripture, perhaps rereading what you've read earlier or another summary scripture to make the point. Sixthly, a provocative statement. Careful, be bold and courageous with that, but be careful. And seventhly, a promise. All of those can be useful. Perhaps you have some ideas of your own. Perhaps that you have a way of ending a lesson that really works for you or the people you're speaking to. Perhaps you've heard other people with their the way that they do their conclusions that are particularly meaningful to you. And I would like to know about those. So please leave a message. Leave a comment wherever you hear or see this recording. Drop me an email. Malcolm@malcolmcox.org is the place to send that. But I would prefer if you could leave a comment right where you see or hear this recording, because then other people can interact with that and we can learn from one another. It's always best to do it that way. If you're interested in more of these, there are plenty of recordings on my Tuesday Teaching Tips. And I have a new venture called Prayer Coaching. And if you'd like to know more about that, again, drop me a line. If I can help you in your devotional life, I would love to do so. So until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.